Well, y'all, it was a hectic week this week. Started off really good. I was off the road. I've been on the road for a couple weeks. I was working from home and started trying to get some of the details of the land buying out of the way. And Lisa and I left for the Anderson County Courthouse 10 o'clock Thursday morning. We had no idea we would be there till after it closed. And it was interesting. Lisa was driving. I had two phones out. I was on a meeting for work, logged into a ministry class I'm taking. And she was driving up there, and we had all our paperwork. And we just thought we was going to go up, drop off a couple of papers, because district advisory board, a couple of members were coming up next day. We showed pictures of it. And we had to have certain things in place for them. One of them was to get a permit for a septic tank test. We had to have the permit in place, and then we also had to have the property we're looking at is zoned for a farm or a house, not a church. We had to get an exception, and we got that, trying to get that paperwork started, and things got a little more complicated than we thought. And such is the way with trips to a courthouse. We got there, and they said, "Do you have a recorded plat?" And we thought that surely they had to have recorded that. The property we're looking at is one, it was one big, like 20 some acres cut up. Well, they didn't. They had the big lot recorded, but not the little one. So while Lisa's at one window, I have to run down to the deeds office and get a plat recorded and work with two super nice people. They were just amazing. Guys fixed up, we thought. Well, it turns out they weren't recorded at all. We need to get them recorded, but before we could do that, we had to have three copies of a stamped and signed survey. Yeah, it just keeps going in this direction. It does. We call the surveyor, and he will not give us a copy of it because the buyer was nice enough to let us use their survey, which it was recently done and saving the church hundreds of dollars. And I could kind of understand where he was at, but we're rolling about 2 o'clock right now. The courthouse closes at 5. He lives in Pendleton. We're there in Anderson. And I understood where he was coming from, but I was a little excited at the moment. The seller, there's a group of four, two husbands and wives. They're related. One of them's a realtor. Call her. And she is in Greenville. We're in Anderson. It's now 2:30. Said, "Well, I'll meet you off Highway 86. There, the 86 exit." So we take off. We had not had any lunch, so we agreed to meet this truck stop. Lisa and I are wolfing down French fries and chicken nuggets and trying to get a new scheme on things. She's running late due to 85 traffic. 5 till 4, she pulls in. And I'm starting to get excited, and then I realize, you know, this lady met us when she didn't have to. She was being gracious to us and gave us two more copies of this. I looked in the back of her minivan, and she was actually leaving from there to go set up a house for our open house. Lisa bawls out of the parking lot. We get back on 85, and to know my wife, you know, bawling out of the parking lot is not quite her style. We get back to the courthouse by 25 after. The officer at the metal detector just looks at us. He's like, "Don't you just come on in," and because we've been there that much. Then we find out we have to get a 911 address before we can get said septic tank permit and said zoning exception to get that going. So we go to the 911 office. Thankfully, it's all in the same building. This lady comes up in blue jeans. She has just a scowl on her face, but turns out that's just her regular disposition. She was as sweet as could be. The people from the zoning office had told her we were coming back. She'd already started working on it. So what would have took an hour took about 15 minutes. We're at 4:45 right now. Then, have the deeds been recorded? I thought I was going to scream. I run back down to the deeds office. And thankfully, these same two people are here that helped me before. They record them. After this guy from the zoning office looks at him, he gives me a wink and says, there ain't no subdivision here. Dump, dump, dump. And so we go down there. It is now 4:55. We are back up to this final window. At 4:59, it is done. And learned a couple of things from that. I never, ever want to be a real estate agent. Never. And God is so good. How many of us have left a courthouse with a headache? Having to get something zoned, having to pay taxes. God put those people right where they need to be at for us. I have no doubt. It wasn't our masterful real estate skills that got this going. We were able to get our stuff going, had our copies, and when we presented it to the superintendent and the other member of the board, they were very pleased with the way it all, with all our paperwork and the way it was organized. God provided for us when we needed it. Wasn't easy, but it would have been impossible. Without God working through those people, that would have been impossible. We'd be working on that till next week or the week after. God gets the credit, as he should in about every situation. After I got home, took some Tylenol, I realized that this was the message I was supposed to speak on today about God providing. Getting us from A to Z. It's not easy. It's not pretty sometimes, but it works. And sometimes it takes us in hindsight to see it. I got to looking through Scripture, and I was trying to find the Scripture that really pointed out. And I found this one. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, Elijah the prophet, he lived about 900 years before the birth of Jesus. Elijah was probably one of the two or three greatest prophets who ever lived. He worked during the time of three different kings in Israel. And during the time that this was written, it was concerning the king, King Ahab. And King Ahab was probably one of the evilest kings to ever reign in Israel. And that's saying something. Him and his wife, Jezebel. And Jezebel is where the name comes from, because she was that bad. They worshipped a god called Baal. Baal worshippers regularly sacrificed children. They did what they could to blot out the old ways of God. Elijah spoke out against it. God got so mad with Ahab and Jezebel, he caused a drought, and he was telling Elijah, you need to go, because they're going to try and kill you. It doesn't say that here, but he was saying, but he did tell him, you need to hide yourself. He starts him off over by this brook, and I'll have the ravens to feed you. Elijah was killed, was almost killed for speaking the word of God. And God knew that Elijah's life was in danger, and he sent him in that direction. He started him off by what he needed. Wasn't a room at the Hilton, but it was survival. In doing this, he went there like God told him. And sure enough, the ravens came in the morning and the evening, and he drank in the brook. And you think about this. Ravens are crows. They're scavengers by nature. They aren't very trusting. If you come out the door of your house, especially in the fall, and you hear one call, they're calling out to the rest of the group. They have a sentry. They have a guard. And then you'll see them take off. It's not in their nature to do what they did. Why did they do it? God. God put them and used them in a way that they aren't normally used. He gave them. He can make things happen that don't normally happen. Like I said before, I have left the courthouse in different counties. It's not just Anderson, it's different counties, with a massive headache. Not having got anything done I wanted to get done. But Thursday, we were able to get everything started and going like it was supposed to. And that was God. In the past week, God's worked in the life of this church by getting where we need to be at. It wasn't easy. It's been where we're at has been a lot of work and a lot of blessing. But we weren't promised an easy life. God never said it'd be easy. He said he'd be with us, but it wouldn't be easy. We're promised that God will be with us as long as we seek him, seek his will for us, and we obey him. And where God opens one door, he'll open others to get us to the next point. The brook that Elijah was drinking from had dried up. And he tells him, the Lord told him, get up and go to the town called Zarephath. And there's a widow there, and she's going to provide for you. Elijah does like he's told. He goes there, and he asked this lady for water, and he asked her for some bread. And this drought had been going on for months or years at this time. The grain that most every village had, like a little small store of grain, but it's probably ran out by then. The grain you had, there was probably a lot of price gouging going on. And this lady was a widow. She probably didn't really have, the Bible doesn't say, but I imagine she survived on the charity of others. She probably didn't have an occupation. She was making it from day to day. And she said, you know, I don't have any bread. I just have a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And I'm going to fix it up. Me and my son are going to go home and we're going to die. It was that bad, that dire. And Elijah told her, don't fear. Do what you said. Lord's going to provide. They kept eating for a lot of days. Those verses say a lot about the faith of that widow. Some guy comes up, looks like death on a cracker, says, give me what you have to eat. She was afraid, but she gave to Elijah on faith. And she didn't realize that at the time, but God's working, and God was working through her and her son's lives too. Sometimes we're the person being helped, sometimes we're the person helping. And it can be hard to go out on faith with that, with something that you're having to give up of yourself. But look at what happened with this widow. They would have died. Without Elijah being there and them helping him, they would have died. God blessed them by feeding all of them for all these days. Because you think about it, anybody's there fried chicken? Oil and flour can run out. I'm here to tell you, at the most inopportune times ever. Because when you ask your other half, where's the cooking oil at? And she says, I thought you bought it. Then it becomes baked or grilled chicken at that point in time. But this kept on and on and on. There are people that look at these verses and they say, that can't happen. Anything can happen. 17-year-old with aggressive breast cancer now doesn't have a sign of it in her body. Then you can keep having flour and oil. It can happen. This was an example of the hand of God working in the lives of those who trust in him and were faithful in him. Now, after a while, the son got really sick. And the mom told Elijah, you come here because of my sins. And my son will die because of my sins. And Elijah said, give him to me, and carried him upstairs. Have you ever asked ask God why you're going through something? I have. I've asked, why is this happening to me? What have I done to make this happen? Why am I going through this? What have I done for this? When bad things happen to those we love, it can be natural to understand or wonder if God's punishing them for something that we may have done. This is a hurting, sin-filled world. The misery in it doesn't come from God. It doesn't. She was probably thinking, though, and I can understand where the widow is coming from, that she helped this man. And this is her reward? Her son dying? God wasn't done. God was not done. Elijah called out, "O Lord my God, help me." And then he stretched himself upon this child three times and called to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him." Lord God was listening. And he brought him back downstairs, and he was fine. And the woman gave recognition to him that, "I know that you are a man of God, and that the Lord, the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." A to Z. God was using, he brought Elijah full circle. Started him off as a fugitive, being fed by the animals, drinking from a stream. Led him to a widow. The Bible does not record it. This widow was low on faith. It does record that her and her son were preparing to die. God saved them physically. But physically wasn't enough. Elijah delivered this son. Not him. It wasn't magic. It wasn't anything he did. It was through faith, through God. And you have a person that's saved physically. Two people that are saved physically and spiritually. It came full circle through this. The Bible doesn't record what this widow and her son did after this. But they were forever changed. They had seen the hand of God come down and come into their lives and do things that others would say was impossible. God would eventually end the drought. Ahab and Jezebel would eventually be murdered, violent deaths. Elijah prophesied that Jezebel would be killed and Ahab, the dogs would be basically tearing him to shreds. And it happened. Elijah would go on to be one of two people recorded in the Bible that would not taste death. He was picked up by a golden fiery chariot and delivered to heaven through his faith and his service to God. As far as our little church, we've gone on to our next point. With the help of people that God put in our lives, put in our paths to help us, we were able to get our paperwork in. Our superintendent came, impressed with the church, impressed with what we're doing and where we're going. And as we start to wrap up and we go to prayer, I want you to think about it. Are you in a place where you need to be somewhere? Are you there? It requires looking in that spiritual mirror. That can be really uncomfortable. But where are you at? Are you at A? Are you at Z? Are you in the middle? Are you trying to do it on your own? I've tried that. How's it working out? It did not work out well for me. It did not work out well for me at all. Who are you depending on to get you from A to Z? Yourself, or is it God? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you acknowledge He was God who came here, lived life as a human, died for our sins, and was resurrected and ascended into heaven? A is a lot of things. I think A is acceptance. Acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Acceptance that we are flawed. Acceptance that we can't make it on our own. We just keep going in circles, not the good kind. Acceptance that we need God in our lives. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what's stopping you right now? We're never promised a tomorrow. Maybe you accepted Jesus and you have turned away from Him. We've had that. Been there. It's something else making your decisions in your life right now. Because if God's not making decisions in your life, something is. Is it money? And you've heard me say it before. There ain't nothing wrong with having things. There ain't nothing wrong with being successful. But you don't want that success and that money to drive your decisions and drive your life. Is your vanity and pride and ego keeping you from turning your life over to God? We try to fix things. A lot of us do. And there are some things that we just can't fix. And it can be hard sometimes for people to admit, I need help. I can't fix this. I am wrong. I am flawed. It's very humbling. Very, very humbling. If God's not moving in your life, probably not moving in the right direction. God needs to be that person that needs to be that thing in your life that's getting you from A to Z. Taught by A, Z. Z is the zenith. It's the top. It is what we are looking for in this next world. It is to be restored and be with our God in the way we were supposed to be in this world. Fallen world and sin has kept us from that. And this life is not the life we're going to live forever. And looking, where am I at right now? If I were to die right now and I come before God, what would they say? What would He say? Would He say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or would He say, I don't know you? That is something, and I know those are kind of blunt statements, but some things you just can't sugarcoat. And you need to ask yourself right now, where am I at in that? What would I hear if I came before God right now? And if the answer is something you don't like and you want to get right with God, talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him like you're talking to your best friend. Sometimes I deliver real wordy prayers. It don't have to be that way. God, I don't know what to do, but I know I need to do something. Get me from A to Z. I know I need you in my life. You're not in my life. You're not making the decisions for my life. This world is. I want to be there. Please help open these doors for me. You gonna have a Mercedes in your driveway? No. You gonna not have to make a house payment? No. But you'll have a peace about you that is just hard to describe. And now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when you get it, the devil's going to be trying to get it back from you every single day, every single second. I had to pray before everybody got here about 20 after 10, and I probably shouldn't tell it, but I was over here praying. I was like, Lord, I ain't never had a goose egg before, but it's just me and Lisa right now. And I was thinking, this is going to be a short service. And so my peace was being taken away, and it was being replaced by doubt and fear and anxiety. Because I'm just like everybody else. Any pastor that ever tells you they're on a different level than you, they're fooling themselves. Everything y'all deal with on everyday life, we do. We do. I have had times like Thursday, halfway through this day, I'm thinking, oh my God, the old storefront's looking better and better. But God kept opening those doors, those improbable doors that shouldn't have opened, but he did. I've seen it happen with financial times, with physical illness. God opens those doors. He wants to open them. He wants to use us. He wants to get us from point from A to Z. Because just like Elijah and the widow, when he got Elijah from A to Z, it wasn't just him. That most beautiful sound in church to hear small kids. He also blessed the widow and her son. That widow and her son would have died if it had not been for Elijah. In our own circumstance, I think that this little church, it has gone through a lot. And this little church is here, whether I'm pastor or whoever's pastor, to help people. And I think that those steps that were made, those doors that were open to get us to this next location, I really think 40 years from now, that this church is still going to be here. I believe it because I believe the heart of this church, and I believe the people, and I believe the people that are going to come. And that getting us from A to Z is going to help other people. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me, please. I'm thinking Ms. Lisa is probably ready for the songs. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, Father, we just want to thank you. Father, we want to thank you for the doors you opened for us. And Father, if there's anybody out there that's hurting, whether they're here or they're somewhere else, Father, they're hurting and they don't know how to get from A to Z. And Father, this world's telling them they don't need you. This world's telling them that you're not here. Father, open their hearts. Talk to them in that soft voice and let them know I'm here and I haven't forgotten you. Remember me and come to me. Seek me. I am knocking at this door, and please open it. I want to come into your lives. I don't offer a life of comfort, but I do offer you a life with peace. Seek me. Listen to the knocking. I am here. Father, as we open these altars up to you, if someone has a burden on their heart, if they want to come up to these to the altar, or if they want to pray from their chairs, Father, just that they pray and they talk to you. And that if they have a burden of trying to get from here to there, you will help them. You will work in their lives. Father, show them the way. Help them to understand you. Help them to hear you. Take away the noise of this world. Take away the noise that drowns you out. And Father, just thank you. Thank you for allowing us to meet like this. In this world, there are so many countries that we can't even do this. And remember those Christians who are hiding in the houses. They're hiding underground, but they still come to you. And help us to realize how fortunate we are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all, the songs are playing and the altars are open.